before. Jesus, I'll never forget how you said, oh, you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget, you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. Oh, can you stand to your feet and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody stand up and clap your hands to the Lord and make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Oh, he's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Oh, yes, he's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Come on and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, no other name I know. Oh, that name is Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's no other name under heaven can save. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, no other name I know. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, no other name under heaven can save. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know. Oh, that's why we sing, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, his name is Jesus. He's the God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God. Yes, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. I praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
There is good stuff going on in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, last week we celebrated my wife and I's 40th wedding anniversary, and we had cake last week. Amen. Still with my high school sweetheart and very, very happy about that. Amen. This week there's a special My Church family celebration in the back. You'll have to find out more about that. Now, next week, there's going to be food also. We're starting a trend here. But we'll the food next week is going to be, anybody know? Pastor's lunch. It's the first Sunday of the month, and I'd like to have a pastor's lunch. Now, there are, I would say, many people in this room have already been to a pastor's lunch. And in that, you know, if you just come to a church, if you're new, let's say if you're 1 year or less coming to our local assembly, it is possible that you don't know very much about the pastor or the vision or the ministries or the operation of our church. Well, that's something that I want you to know. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know the vision that I have, that I really absolutely am confident in, that God has given me a vision for this church. Amen. Where we are and where we're going. Amen. And I think it's important that the pastor has the opportunity to share that vision with the people, so that the people can be a part of the plan of God. Amen. Amen. So pastor's lunch is an explanation of that. And I want to invite those that are new to our church. If you've come before and you know the vision of our church, you know who I am, you know the vision I've got, and you know what God is doing and where we're going, well, then that meeting's not for you. But if you don't know all that, I would like to share it with you. Next Sunday, after church, in a pastor's lunch, it's not a fancy meal. It'll be some little thing to eat, and I'll probably talk for 40 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, somewhere like that. It should be less than an hour, but I want to share that vision with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would also like to talk more so in that vision casting time next week at pastor's lunch about first steps. First steps is, how, you may wonder, if you're new to this church, you may wonder, well, how do I become a part of this church? How do I get involved? How do I become an active part of the ministry or of the fellowship in this church? Well, we want everybody to grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. Including the pastor. Starts right here. And it includes every minister, every musician, every usher, every teacher, everybody in the church should grow in Jesus Christ. Everybody. Everybody needs to grow in Jesus. You might have been around since, I don't know when, but maybe longer than me. And that's a long time. But you need to grow in Christ. Amen. I want to talk about that. You'll hear more next week if you come to pastor's lunch. Amen. In your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, can I ask you to stand just for the reading of a few scriptures here, not many. Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 26. Then I'll let you be seated. And we stand just out of respect of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. If you don't get anything else out of today's service, I hope you get something from the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. I have an extremely high regard for the Word of God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning to read there at verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Amen. I'd like to talk for a little while on this thought. He made up his mind. Amen. He made up his mind. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that even in this service, Lord, that just as it was with Moses, Lord, that you would also, Lord, be with us. Lord, that we would make up our mind, Lord, that it is time to serve the Lord. I know, God, that you're able, and I ask even now that in the name of Jesus, that you would let your word, God, touch our hearing and touch our hearts, Lord, and help me, Lord, with anointed words of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to compel and to expound on the things of the word of God. Lord, help me to do it. Lord, help us to receive it, I pray, in the precious name that is above all other names, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. He made up his mind. What a day that is. When a Christian, when a person that wants to live for God, makes up their mind. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you thoughts about why double-minded Christianity will not, cannot survive in this present world. You can't be double-minded and be right with God. Not only are we Christians, which we are striving to be like him, and that we should have enough from a biblical perspective, but for the sake of the message today, let me say this. We are not just Christians. We are apostolic Christians. Amen. Apostolic Christians means something extra. And it is extra special to me. Yes. It means more than just trying to be like Christ. Right. Although I do want to be like his example. Yes. I want to model my life after him. I don't want to take away from other people that call themselves Christians. I'm not attacking them, not intentionally. I don't hope to do that. But apparently there is a difference between many Christians in our world. I have associates in the world, whether if I work with them or just in life, that they would call themselves Christians. And at the same time, I know that they do not have the walk with God that I have. And my walk with God needs to grow. Amen. I want to get closer to God. I want to be more sensitive to his will. Just because I've heard from God before doesn't mean that I don't need to hear from him again. I do. I need to hear from God today and tomorrow. Amen.
Christianity, apostolic Christianity, is special. My apostolic Christian walk has brought me to where I am today. It's because of what I know the Bible says. It is because of the experience that I've had in Jesus Christ, because I know who He is, that I want my life to be different. I want my Christianity to be something deeper and go further than what our world thinks. I don't want to base what the Bible is saying on what the world thinks. There's a vast difference. I want it to be something greater, something with more meaning in my life. There are some who call themselves Christians who actually do not follow Christ. Perhaps they never read His word. Perhaps they never spend time with Him in prayer. Perhaps there is very little that identifies them with Jesus or makes them different from anyone else that is around them. This, my friend, is not Christianity. And it certainly is not the Christianity that Christ envisioned to be modeled in the world as His body, the church. The church is different.
It is.
Being a part of the church,
yes,
sets us apart,
right,
for the use of Jesus Christ, that He might have His will to be done in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Our Christianity should mean something, should be significant in our lives. It should have meaning in our focus. If we are followers of Christ, then we should follow Him in our attitude, in our actions, in humility, in power, and in grace. Jesus changes everything when He changes us. Amen. I only know a very little bit about Twitter. I know that Elon Musk not long ago purchased it. It was a big hoopla about that. So why such a big deal? It used to be, tweets used to be a little short, and they normally are, I hear. I think it started out with 180 characters, and then they doubled it, and then so you could have, I don't know, a few hundred characters in a tweet, and you sign up and you can follow people. Why would somebody want to know if I had a decaf vanilla latte at Starbucks?
Nobody cares
what kind of coffee I had this morning. And guess what? You can't follow me on Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account. But people, I've heard of people posting about their everyday life, about what they do. Who cares if you're opening your mail right now? But there are some, it seems, that would like to treat their relationship with God like a Twitter account. You know, they sign up. Oh, I'm a follower. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe. It's not anything like that. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Unfortunately, too many Christians are following Jesus like a Twitter account. They sign up,
They receive a little sound bite, and they might even give a text now and then, a few syllables, a few words. Now I lay me down to sleep, or Lord bless my food before I eat. That, my friend, is a shallow Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about growing a relationship in Jesus Christ. Amen. About being a committed follower of Jesus. Amen. Our Christianity, it really should mean something very special to us. And I personally believe that our Christianity should cost us something. If it doesn't cost us something, then it's not worth anything. Right. Our Christianity should cost us some time on our calendar. Right. Some treasure from our checkbook. Some temperance in our lifestyle. You should live differently because of your walk with Jesus Christ. Your humility. How about this? Modesty. We should be modest because of our walk with Jesus Christ. Our wardrobe is different because of our walk with Jesus Christ. Some discretion needs to be used in our vocabulary. There's words I don't say anymore. Amen. Or when I was a new Christian and that unwanted word slipped out of my mouth, ooh, it's like, oh, sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. If it slips out of your mouth, well then shut your mouth. Stop saying that. The Holy Ghost just pointed you in the forehead, dink, dink, dink. Stop doing that. You see, your Christianity needs to change us. Amen. It needs to perfect us in our attitude, in our thinking. Our Christianity should be full of light and seasoned with salt and abounding with good works. It should change us. Our Christianity should be a live demonstration of the difference that Jesus Christ has made in our lives. You should be able to see the difference before Christ and after. Amen. Now I've got to tell you that we live in a culture today, and you know that it's true, is hostile to the Christian walk. We live in a hostile environment toward many of our own Christian values. It's hostile to those who are devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We are navigating behind enemy lines. We are living in a world that does not belong to us. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You ever heard that song? I was thinking about singing it, but I don't always do real good on that. So I'm not going to sing it. Don't ever make the fatal mistake of thinking this world is your home. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. This world is not your friend. That you can love the world and the things that are in the world and still love God and have Jesus Christ active in your life. You cannot do both things. You are deceived if you think that way. That's clearly the definition in my mind of double-minded. You think you can live in the world and still love God, that's being double-minded. You got to choose. Choose you this day who it is you will serve. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus plainly said that no man can serve two masters. John 1, or 1 John, excuse me,
1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's the word of God. You can't love the world and serve God rightly. Being a Christian does not mean that you can have the best of both worlds. It means you must choose between the world and the kingdom of God. You got to choose to serve Jesus Christ. The only person Jesus ever told us to remember was Lot's wife, and not for a good reason. She was the woman that looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah as fire and brimstone just consumed and buried that city. That city became a massive grave. And everybody there perished. When she looked back, she was instantly turned into a pillar of salt. Tell you what, you got to choose to live for God and then don't look back. I am not going back to that world that I came out of. I am not going back to the sin that I was stuck in. I do not want to live in the mire of this world. You got to choose and don't look back. Amen. She was trying to reach out for two worlds, and you cannot have both. You cannot do both. She didn't want to be destroyed, but neither did she want to leave. You got to choose. I choose to serve the Lord. You will either choose to serve the Lord or you will not serve God. Mom and dad, you cannot make your children serve God. But you need to show them what serving God looks like. You need to show them how good God is. You need to bring them to the house of the Lord. You need to lead them in worship. Kids need to see mom and dad praising God, worshiping the Lord, and having a relationship with Jesus. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1, verse number 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's the word of God. If you're double-minded in this one area of your serving God, everything about you is messed up. That's just what the word of God says. We are in the world, but Jesus said that we are not of the world. If you and I are going to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we must choose which world that we will be of. Some believers are in Christianity, but they are not of Christianity. You ever heard this? Christians that think they are themselves the CEO. And I'm not talking about the chief executive officer either. I'm talking about the Christmas and Easter only group. CEO. They come twice a year. No, I'm happy to have them come, but I wish they'd come every Sunday. That they'd come to prayer meeting. That they would have a relationship with God. Amen. All young Christian people, at some point, and not even young, even old, all Christian people, all apostolic Christian people, at some point in their life, will go through an identity crisis in which they must figure out for themselves where they belong, who they really are, who their people are, to whom they belong, what they believe, and what they are living for. And get this, what they would be willing to die for. You'll never find out what you're living for until you first figure out what you would be willing to die for. You see, when I repented of my sins, it was time to die to those things. And you know what? That tub of water right there, it's a baptismal tank. And I was buried in water when I was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I had to die just like Jesus did. I had to die to my will, to my ways, to my sin, to my old way of life, to my old habits, to my old things. I had to die to that so that I could be born again into the kingdom of God. Amen. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that I might rise to walk in newness of life, that I might be filled with the Holy Ghost, that God might keep me in this way. Amen. But you have to decide. You must decide. You will never find out really what it's about until you decide. Amen. Moses came to that identity crisis. Moses had to figure out who he was. The scripture says that when he came to years, quote unquote, which means, that really means when he came to maturity. When it came time, there was a time that he had to decide. He came to maturity when he grew up. When he became spiritually aware of the direction for his life, where he had come from and where he was and where he was going. And when he got to that place in his life, he had to sit down and figure something out. He might have thought, I need to decide once and for all who I am. Am I an Egyptian or am I a Hebrew? Do I worship the gods of the Egyptians or do I worship the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I know that I am heir to the throne of Egypt, but is that really me? Is that my destiny? Is that what is best for my future? And that could have been a mighty strong draw for many. It could have been very attractive, alluring even. He had to think, do I want what is at the end of that road? Is that what you want for your life? And when Moses came to maturity, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had a temporary identity crisis. He had to stop and evaluate, figure out just exactly who he was. You see, Moses was a Hebrew by birth. His mother and father were children of Abraham. His God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His people were the people of the Hebrew race. His skin color was a little bit different. His physical features were just a little bit different. But more important than that, when he looked deep inside, something was telling him that he was not an Egyptian by birth or by education or by culture. And yet, Moses is Egyptian mother figure, the Egyptian mother figure that Moses had. She was the daughter of the most powerful man in the world. a man who presided over the most pagan, godless, idolatry-worshipping nation on earth. He was raised in Pharaoh's palace, ate Pharaoh's food, was educated in Pharaoh's schools and colleges. Moses was well aware of the Egyptian culture, of their way of life, of their music and clothing and style and food and entertainment choices, and the overall philosophies of the Egyptians. Moses knew about it. So when he was old enough to fully realize and understand the difference between the people of God and the people of Egypt, he knew that he would have to make a choice. He could not straddle the fence. He was going to have to cast in his lot with one group or the other. I tell you, everybody that lives for God comes to this place. Everybody has to make up your own mind. Our schools and our colleges today have students that are very aware of this. They will have to figure out who they are. You see, they will be forced into some situations at school where you will either stand for something or fall for anything. They will either speak up for what they believe or be quiet and keep to themselves. Some teachers will challenge your faith. Some secular teachers will take pride in pulling the rug of absolutes from out of under your feet. They will feel it is their calling to try to get you to question everything and to shake your faith and to turn it upside down. That's what our world wants. Many textbooks will challenge your faith. Charles Darwin had a theory that it takes more faith to believe in than the Bible. That things just happen to come together in perfect order. That's like saying if I had a Rolex watch and a master watchmaker took it apart piece by piece and it was laid out on the table in all of the 1,237 different pieces it takes to make a Rolex watch. If you put it in, if you gather them all up and throw it in the wash machine, and you turn the wash machine on, and in 15 minutes it'll be done.
Come on, listen to this. This is true. Amen.
You think in 15 minutes it would do what the master watchmaker did?
No, sir.
That out would come my Rolex watch?
Not in a billion years.
Well, okay, it didn't do it the first time. But what if I did it again?
No.
What if you did it 1,000 times? What if you did it 1,000,000 times? Would it ever come out like the master made it? By chance? It would take more faith to believe in Darwin than it would to believe in the Bible. It's just so utterly ridiculous to think that God's creation of all heaven and earth and mankind, you look at the little fingers and eyes and toes of a baby and you are looking at a miracle. Whew, I had 4 of them. I know about that. A miracle. I need to wrap this up. This culture will try to force itself on you. It is. It does. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This indicates that some kind of pressure was being put on him. The philosophies of the world will try to be pressed upon you, but believe God. Believe what Jesus Christ said in his word. You can count on it. It's the word of God, and it's true. Every dot, every dash, every crossing of the T or a tittle will be fulfilled. This word of God. Everything is true in it.
The world wants to tear people apart. But I tell you, the Word of God will keep us together. Amen. Our walk with God and our relationship with God will keep us by His power. Daniel, when the world pushed against Daniel and by mandate and by law said, you cannot pray. The law said, it's illegal to pray. Well, what if they made a law today that said it was illegal to pray or illegal to have a church service? Tell you what, I'm going to pray anyway. We're going to have church anyway. Now, they might put me in prison, but tell you what, I'm still going to worship God. Amen. I'm still going to praise the Lord. I'm still going to choose to serve Jesus. Amen. I don't want to get into it right now, but in COVID times, I had a very distinct, the mayor wanted to know why we were still having church. So, well, we are going to have church. It is allowed, and we will not stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, when it was convenient and when it was not convenient. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when that was their new names, when they, by the world, were pushed to bow down. Everybody has to bow down before the figure at the sound of the music and the psaltery and all the instruments. Everybody bow down! Everybody in the whole crowd bowed down but those 3 boys. How do you think that looked? 3 guys standing there. Everybody else is bowed down. You know, there's going to come a time where it's very easy to point out those that are walking with God. It's going to show up really very easily that you are walking with God. They did not bow down. They were told that they would burn. They said, we're going to throw you in the fire. And they did. But they did not burn. God delivered them by His great hand. Amen. I'm telling you, God is with us to deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. Joseph, when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, tried to push him into things that he would not do, he pushed back. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God used him in a mighty great way. Some of the personalities in Scripture failed to push back at the world and paid the price. Cain, Samson, Saul, Demas, who loved this present world. If you love this present world, then you'll not serve God. When Egypt pushed Moses, Moses pushed back. Moses didn't just ignore the label that Pharaoh was trying to put on him. He refused it. He rejected it. Something rose up inside of him that made him want to stand up and declare who he was and what he believed and what he was going to do. I'll tell you what every one of us has to choose. I've got this closing thought. The university professor challenged his students with this question. Did God create everything that exists? A student bravely replied, yes, he did. God created everything, the professor asked. Yes, sir, God created everything, the student replied. The professor answered, if God created everything, then God created evil. Since evil exists, and according to the principle that our works define who we are, then God is evil. The student was speechless. The professor
quite pleased with himself, boasted to the rest of the class that he had proven once more that Christian faith was a myth. Another student raised his hand and said, "Can I ask a question? Professor?" Professor replied, "Of course, you may ask." The student stood up and asked, "Professor, does cold exist? What kind of question is this? Of course it exists. Have you ever been cold?" The student snickered at the professor's question. The young man replied, "In fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics that we consider, cold is in reality the absence of heat. Everybody is subject or susceptible to study when it has or transmits energy. And the heat is what makes a body or matter have or transmit energy. Absolute zero, minus 460 degrees Fahrenheit, is the total absence of heat. All matter becomes inert and incapable of reaction at that temperature. Cold does not exist. We have created this world to describe how we feel when we have no heat." The student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" The professor responded, "Of course it does." The student replied, "Once again, you are wrong, dear sir." Or didn't say dear. "You are wrong, sir. Darkness does not exist either. Darkness is in reality the absence of light. Light can be studied, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism of to break the light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain space is? You measure the amount of light present. Isn't this correct? Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light present." Finally, the young man asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" Now uncertain, the professor responded, "Of course. As I have already said, we see it every day. It is in the daily example of man's inhumanity to man. It is in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil." To this the student replied, "Evil, sir, does not exist. Or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold. A word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God does not create evil. Evil is not like faith and love or love that exists just as does light and heat. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light." The professor sat down. Allegedly, the young man's name that made this argument, his name was Albert Einstein.
I tell you, God does exist. Amen. God is real. Musicians, would you come? Would you stand with me? I tell you, everybody has to make a decision. Everybody has to decide in your life. You got to make up your mind. You see, Moses, the topic of this message, he made up his mind. I encourage you. You got to make up your mind to serve the one and only God. You got to make up your mind to be like him. As these musicians gather and when they play, I'd like to ask you to lift your hands and lift your voice. And would you magnify God with me? This altar will be open and you can pray and seek his face and you will find his way. If you seek him, you'll find him. He's not far off. He's here right now. If you've not been baptized before, here is water. You could be baptized today. You could have your relationship with God strengthened today. You can make up your mind today to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you join us as these musicians play and sing? Would you magnify him right now? Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Would you join me? Magnify God. This altar is open.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love. Jesus, oh, I'm falling
in love
with Jesus, falling in love
with
Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done.
Falling in love
with Jesus, oh, I'm
falling in love
with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done. Oh, in his arms,
in his arms,
I've been protected. In his arms,
in his arms,
never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Folded in his arms,
in his arms,
I feel protected. In his arms,
in his arms,
never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. Oh, there's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling in love.
Falling in love with Jesus.
I'm falling.
the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, so in His arms,
in His arms,
I feel protected.
In His arms, in His arms,
oh, never
disconnected.
In His arms, I feel protected. Oh, there's no place I'd rather be. Oh, it's the best thing I've ever done. Oh, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. When Pastor was preaching, it reminded me of the interaction between Peter and Jesus. How that Peter was very zealous for the Lord. And he was very outspoken. He was the first one. When Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up. He said, "Thou art the Christ." He was very bold. And when Jesus was talking about how he was going to be taken and be crucified, he says, "Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to defend you with my life. You know, I'll go in your place." All of that stuff. And so, you know, Jesus seeing Peter's heart and knowing what he had to do, what he had to accomplish on the cross, he told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Say, "What? Wait a second. The couple chapters before, you just gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Now you're saying, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" But it was Peter's heart that needed to be changed. Peter's heart that needed to not just follow the living Jesus, but follow the one that died for him. Amen. And rose again. And so Jesus says these words to Peter, and it's true today. Because just as soon as God gives you a promise or gives you instructions and tells you to do something for the kingdom, Satan desires to take that away from you. And so Jesus told Peter, "Satan desires to have you." And that's true for every single one of us. If Satan could have us, he would have us. Not only would he have us, but he would have us dead. So we're talking, I mean, this is serious. And he says, "Satan has desired to have you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat." How many knows that the devil just wants to mess up your life? The enemy wants to just throw you to the curb. But I love what Jesus said. He said, "But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not." I'm so thankful we have a God. Hallelujah. That doesn't want our faith to fail. Hallelujah. And then he says this, "And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." Once you get your mind made up, once you get your heart right, you'll be a strength to lean on to somebody else. Amen. And I love to say, our church family, our people are people that have their mind made up. And they're people that you can lean on in the hour of need for prayer, for whatever it takes. Amen. I'd be surprised if a service goes by and somebody doesn't offer to help somebody else. Amen. We have a great church family here. And we're going to have a little celebration in the back. My church family. Amen. Give them a few minutes.
and then go on back there. And please join us today. It would be very, very good to see everybody back there enjoying themselves and having a good time. Amen. Meet one another. We got new people, new faces, and I like to meet every one of you. Amen. So please stay for just a few minutes if you can, and at least get something to eat, okay? All right. Lord Jesus, ask you to bless us today. Bless everything that is about us, God. Help us to make up our minds, Lord Jesus. Help us to have it settled in our heart, Lord, to serve you. God, to give you the praise and the glory that you're worthy of, God. Keep blessing your church, Lord Jesus. Keep bringing us together, Lord God, and in unity, Lord, and in prayer, Lord God. Bless us, Lord Jesus, and bless this whole week, Lord God, and touch each and every one of us as we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, bless the food and fellowship in the back, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed.